welcome to Through Imperial Eyes, where we like to have a little bit of fun around here. I'm your host, Brayden Ledbetter.
Can I eat pretzels during this?
That's embarrassing for you.
I'm Jackson Deline.
And he's eating pretzels. There you go. Hear that?
It's a Star Wars ASMR.
That's right. We're the Star Wars ASMR podcast with your host, Jackson and Brayden. Jackson, what have you been doing? What's going on in your life? What's going on in your little new office there? You got going on?
I redecorated. Well, I didn't redecorate. I actually hung up some stuff that I had and worked on my. I bought a shelf. That's all I really got was a shelf and put all my Black Series figures on it. And then I bought the CBS Fox VHS bundle of the like original trilogy, and I have the VHSs on my shelves that you can see, but you know, yeah, our listeners can't. I got Obi-Wan number one.
Oh.
I almost got a variant cover of it that was it was art of Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And I was gonna get both, but I ultimately wanted that one because I liked the artwork better for it, and I knew I was gonna hang it up and the other one was just gonna sit, you know?
Yeah.
So I bought that one. And then, I gotta tell you this, today at work, it's yard sale season and we're going through boxes and stuff. And, I dumped out a box of books that wasn't like a big box, but it was filled with Star Wars books filled. And it was all like really nice pre-Legends Banner, copies of stuff, the whole Darth Bane trilogy, a hardback of Heir to the Empire and The Last Command, Revenge of the Sith and paperback. They were all paperbacks. Oh, a lot of the old Legends Clone Wars books, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
A lot of those I hadn't actually seen in person, but I'm going to try and get some of them when we put them out on the floor. But I know I was like, whoa, it was a gold mine. Like, it happened. And
if it's available and you want to pick me up the third Darth Bane book, that would complete my trilogy.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see if they'll be out on the floor. They'll be out on the floor by the time I'm in St. Louis.
Hope so.
Yeah. And I put a little note for them to upscale them so I could try and get some of them.
Yeah.
Is that Path of Destruction?
Path of Destruction is the first one. The second one is Rule of Two.
Rule of Two.
The third one is the name is escaping me right now. So I'm just going to Google it really quick. Darth Bane book 3. Third one is Dynasty of Evil.
Okay, I'll see if it's there. I'm gonna try and do that. I gave my dad my paperback copy of Lost Stars and I told him to read it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if he'll get into it.
Like I said last week, that's a really good really good introduction to the Star Wars canon.
I think if he enjoys it, I'll give him Revenge of the Sith. I think that'll be one he'll really kind of connect that'd be a good with. One.
And if he really likes Lost Stars and enjoys Claudia Gray's writing, I think Bloodline is also a good one.
I think he would really like Bloodline, or I think he'd enjoy Alphabet Squadron.
That's a good one too.
So.
So I've heard. I haven't actually read Alphabet Squadron, but I've heard that it's.
I read the first one, but I haven't read the rest of the series, the trilogy. Other than that, that's been about it, I think. I got a really cool Lord of the Rings book set. I bought like a leather bound paper.
I saw that on your Twitter. Of them. Yeah.
Yeah, they were on sale. They're like normally 70, 80 bucks, and I bought them for like 30.
Nice.
But yeah, what about you? What's going on?
So I had a really cool thing happen, I think, because I have a coworker who like knows I really like Star Wars. He knows I have a Star Wars podcast, and this past Tuesday he brought me a copy of Star Wars The High Republic number one. I think he got it for free for like comic book day.
They had, I think it was number one.
Yeah, and he just gave me a copy. I was like, dude, what did you give me this for? He's like, well, I got it for free at a comic book store. I was like,
is that the cover with? It's like a special cover of Keeve.
No, it has like it's like the basic cover with like Avar and Skeer and the other. Forgot the third person on it, but
probably Kiev.
Probably, yeah. But yeah, I thought that was really nice of him to do that. Cool. But other than that, been chugging on through Fallen Star. Been reading like a couple chapters per night before bed, and
yeah, I've been working through Dark Force Rising.
Yeah, so I plan on finishing this book tomorrow of the date of this recording. So hopefully next week we can have a little discussion about it.
But are you going to read Midnight Horizon?
I'm not sure yet because I'm not caught up on any of the comics or anything. And I hear
we can talk about it. Like I just finished it. I'll say it's a bit slow, but it ultimately was a good story. Mm. And the third act really takes it off. Like the third act like is phenomenal, but the first two are kind of setting it up. But it's quick too. That's kind of the nice thing is that
you get through them. Would you say that Midnight Horizon is more of a finale to this phase of the High Republic than Fallen Star is? Without spoiling anything.
I will say that I wish Midnight Horizon took place before Fallen Star, but they take, obviously you're in it to the thick of it in the middle of Midnight Horizon, like the news comes up essentially right before the big third act takes off. Mm-hmm. The news comes up that Starlight's falling.
Oh, gotcha. So it's like a parallel story to Fallen Star.
It parallels. And the first half parallels with the last issues of High Republic Adventures.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like this weird middle gap that I think it's more to tell you because there are important things. I just like I remembered it. There are important things that happen in Midnight Horizon, but it has to do with those specific characters rather than the overall story. So my answer to your question is that Fallen Star is like a good ending.
So Fallen Star would be like the definitive finale of phase
especially
one.
With how Fallen Star ends. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
I would say that 100% that the only big thing that happens in Midnight Horizon that is left unanswered is not overall story, whereas Fallen Star it is.
Gotcha.
100%.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyway,
that'll kind of determine whether I pick up Midnight Horizon now or just like wait a little bit.
I guess
phase two starts, I want to like at least be 100% with like a lot of the High Republic stuff.
It's a really good book if you're a Reith Silas fan.
So
yeah, if you're into that, like Fallen Star or Midnight Horizon's your book because his only other big action like moment is Into the Dark.
Yeah,
he makes side character cameos. He's in Out of the Shadows, but he's not the main character in it.
That's
whereas like in Midnight Horizon, it's him and like two others who are the main characters.
Gotcha.
The main, you know. So anyway,
well, cool. Very exciting. And as of yesterday, we're only 2 weeks away from Kenobi, which is also super exciting.
Yeah,
we got some exciting stuff planned for Through Imperialized for Kenobi, so be on the lookout for that. But let's get this week's news started. What we got up first?
So we don't have a lot. Most of it's Kenobi, and most of it's quotes too. So and we'll kind of talk about what's been going on with it. But our first piece is that it's Moses Ingram talked about Reva. And Reva?
I've been saying Reva, but maybe it's Reva. It probably makes more sense to be Reva.
Honestly, I said it and then I was like, it might be Reva.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out.
Anyway, they're doing the press tour right now and it's Hayden, Moses, and
Ewan
and Deborah Chow. Mm-hmm. Jump in the world, you know. And while they were in London, Ingram shared some thoughts on her character that she'll be portraying. Quote, she is very ruthless. And I keep saying the same thing, but it's true. You know, she doesn't care about what people think about the way in which she does things. She'll cut people down. And I think she's going to get the job done, whatever it takes. She then went on and said, there are so many muscles in your hand that you never use until you go and use a lightsaber or something of the sort. So it was hard at first, but once you get it, you really feel like you can do anything, just like a kid in a candy store. Which I thought that was a funny quote, that it's like you wouldn't expect your hand to like need like specific, you know, stuff for a lightsaber. And then on talking about Ewan and Hayden is like, even on set, there was lifelong fans that would just get so moved by being around Ewan and Hayden. You know, I think it's going to be a big deal for fans to see them back in the center. And I overall think that it's going to be really cool seeing a new face that's going to be playing an important role with these big players.
And that's something I feel like I've been super excited about with this show is seeing characters we know and love interacting with new characters and fresh characters.
Yeah.
Characters like Reva, characters like a lot of the Inquisitors we've been seeing. I think that'll be really exciting. And a lot of people are saying, like, the more I hear people talking about the people involved in this show talking about it, the more I think we're going to see more Hayden and Vader than we would expect.
Oh, for sure. I think Vader's like a full on like.
I feel like it's going to be like first episode we see Vader.
And it's going to, I think it's going to start out being kind of hinted at, then the more we progress through the show, the more it will like show him and like we'll get more scenes with him. So I think with this character, I think what's going to happen is that she's tasked with hunting Kenobi down, becomes obsessed with it. Eventually it'll like, I think it'll like kind of drive her to a point that she gets like involved with it. And, I kind of expect, I think she'll turn good eventually and will like kind of Trilla it in the last second. Like Vader will cut her down, but I think it's going to end up becoming that she's going to kind of go against Vader, like specifically, to like almost like beat him to the punch. Like he's doing it for personal reasons, but she's doing it because she's trying to make a point.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of speculation that, I mean, we even talked about this, I think it was last week or the week before, that we think Reva is going to end up eventually, like, turning back to maybe not light side, but just, like, not dark side, or, like,
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Something happens to where she has a revelation to where she doesn't want to be doing what she's currently doing. But, yeah, that's why I, like, I've seen a lot of people complain about it on Twitter. Like, oh, is Reva just going to be another, you know, character? Like, let bad guys be bad for once, which I don't agree with. Like, that is not something that equals good storytelling.
You say that, but then when Darth Vader in, exactly. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that I'm glad that they're taking a lot of these newer characters and I'm hoping that they end up giving Reva a lot of depth and like we end up really starting to understand her as a character, even if it is a good or bad thing, which, you know, her intentions. But, you know, very, very exciting stuff. And we'll find out, I guess we'll be introduced to her in 2 short weeks. So let's kind of move on here. Excuse my my burp.
I heard that.
Yeah,
that was
like my stomach was going. Whoop. We'll keep that in just for ASMR fans.
We can split this piece too because I know it's a lot of words.
I got the chops, dog.
Unless you want to do it all, go right ahead. I'm gonna eat my pretzels.
Well, Jax needs the pretzels. He's talking Mountain Dew, baby. Here we go. So Ewan McGregor shares plenty about the upcoming Kenobi show. So there's going to be a lot of Ewan McGregor quotes, which I'm sure you guys are all excited for. So with being the star of the show, McGregor shared quite a bit on his experience preparing and experiencing the making of Kenobi. And here is a quote from said Ewan McGregor. But then when we came to doing the actual scenes, I totally didn't have his voice. I'm guessing he's talking about Alec Guinness.
Alec.
I was just doing this vague English voice and it sounded a lot sort of like a school teacher or something, but it certainly didn't sound like Alec Guinness and it didn't sound like Obi-Wan. I thought, God, it'd been so long. I didn't have it, but it was quite good to do it. Not sure what that means. I got to realize that then. And, you know, some months later we came to start shooting and I'd done my homework and listened to a lot of Alec Guinness and I was back. It went through several iterations. We were talking about it being a movie. I said, I think it could be a story about a man who's broken and lost his faith, and it could be quite dark, but how does he get it back? And that's where we started. And this kind of confirms our theories of it starting out being a movie.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's where we started, taking somebody we know as an example of what the Jedi stood for, and somebody who's on the Jedi Council and is respected, to take them to a place where we've never seen them before. And he's guilt-ridden that he's lost Anakin to the dark side, and all his close spiritual friends, Yoda, everyone he's got gone into hiding, Qui-Gon, I just added that. So he's lost. Then he goes on to say, Stephen Daldry was going to direct for a time. I remember when they... There was like a, someone had a, this isn't a quote, by the way, I'm just saying my thoughts. I remember when they announced that somebody had a lead that Stephen Daldry was going to direct the movie back in like, this is like 2017. And then it just didn't happen. But anyway, Stephen Daldry was going to direct for a time, was attached to direct a big movie, and then he just couldn't do it. And then Deborah Chow became the director, and she took the project in two different directions because it became a series, and then the storyline shifted, which I remember we covered the Obi-Wan. Did we cover the Obi-Wan rewrite back then?
I think so.
I think we did too. Two different directions, and she's got an amazing in-depth understanding of that world, and I don't know if it's because of her work with The Mandalorian, but she really knows the world inside out. It's very broad now with the animations and the video games, and I don't know what happened in episode 29 of Clone Wars, but she does. And then he goes on to talk about Hayden. We spent so much time together in Australia because we shot episode 2 and 3 there. We were very far away from home, and he was so young and passionate. He had a lovely relationship with my little, now 26-year-old daughter, Clara, and I was so happy to see him again. We knew we wanted to have him in the series, and we met in a park in Santa Monica, and we went for a long walk. Imagine just sitting in Santa Monica and watching
Ian
McGregor and Hayden Christensen walking down the street. Like, that is crazy. It was during lockdown, and we were outdoors with our masks, and I got to see his eyes only. We walked, we caught up with our lives, and we hadn't seen each other for a very long time. And on set, it was like walking back in time. I was looking across at him playing these scenes, and it was like a time warp or something. Like, the last 20 years didn't really happen. All of my personal feelings, because I love Hayden, were there, because all of Obi-Wan's feelings about Anakin were there. So it was pretty seamless. I love hearing Ewan talk about his experiences just in the Star Wars universe alone, especially with, you know, with Kenobi and talking about episode 2 and 3 and Hayden and everything.
I didn't put it in, but there is a piece of this that he talks about. He goes to a movie theater and the studio asks him if he wants to present one of the movies showing at a theater in Hollywood while he's there. He's like, sure. And they get to pick, and he gets to pick which one he wants to present, and he picks Revenge of the Sith. And essentially the week it happened, he had to back out because something went wrong, and the thing got reversed the night of. So he talks about, he drives on his motorcycle to this theater and pulls up, and it's just like, hey everyone. And the fans just explode, and he was like, there were people in costumes, there was people crying, it was just like this beautiful moment. And he talks about like it revitalized his like faith, you know. He was like, I just had this like this ache in my heart for how it was originally received and perceived, and it was like seeing how that's changed and grown over time. Yeah, and dude, still being able to like build off of that, he was like, it means the world to me. And I was just like, honestly, like,
I'm just so glad we are in this Star Wars prequels renaissance right now, to where so many people, because like, I remember back when even like The Force Awakens was being made, and everyone was like, oh God, I really hope it's not like the prequels. And now people are like, I hope it's more like the prequels. You know, like, I love that there has been like this like shift in the atmosphere of like this love of the prequels, which is,
yeah,
you know, really nice to hear about. But what do we have next?
So, more Kenobi news. We got a new, like, it was like a promo image. It's like, it's, you know what reminds me of? It's a stock, like, Revenge of the Sith photos. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of like a stock photo of Obi-Wan, but it was leaked, and it was of him holding his lightsaber.
Yeah, first.
Besides the entertainment photo, this is the first, this is him holding it with it, you know, rather than it just being the blade. Yeah. Super cool. He's just standing in a battle pose.
You can tell just him in a photography studio holding the hilt, and they edited it.
But, yeah, there's no background. Like, it's just him.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great cardboard cutout.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be. You'll see it in like the front window of a Slackers or something.
Exactly. Yep. I was just about to say it.
but it's just still cool to see that like they have that kind of this kind of promo going still. And I'm just glad it wasn't like a leaked still from the show of him wielding a lightsaber, because I feel like that's something I really would want to experience in the show, like as I'm watching it.
Yeah,
because yeah, I definitely feel like it's going to be a very, it will be a very important experience to have, like seeing Obi-Wan wielding a lightsaber for the first time since 2005. You know.
Yeah. For sure.
With the exception of Rebels and all that kind of fun stuff.
But like, yeah.
Yeah, like live action, like Obi-Wan as we knew him as kids.
Ewan holding it, right. You know.
Because like, as much as, you know, we hate to say it, we're of the generation where Ewan is our Obi-Wan, you know. Yeah. So very, very exciting. And if you haven't checked out that photo, you can find it wherever photos are found. You can literally Google it. But kind of moving on here, we got some news about some Galaxy's Edge in Florida. So the Batuu Bounty Hunters interactive game comes to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Florida. In a recently posted video, VP of Creative and Interactive Experiences at Walt Disney Imagineering, Asha Kalama, demonstrated a new in-universe game that park guests visiting Galaxy's Edge at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Florida can play. Visitors can play using the upgraded version of the popular Magic Band accessory exclusive to the Walt Disney World Resort, dubbed Batuu Bounty Hunters. This new game will allow guests to use their upgraded Magic Bands to hunt down bounties hidden throughout the Black Spire Outpost by tracking them using the band to see how close or far they are from their quarry. Using a combination of wristband and a phone, park guests will have the ability to tag bounties hidden behind doors and using a thermal scanner, and then collect credits as a reward. While interactive games in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge are not new to the land, this will be the first time guests can use their magic bands to further immerse themselves in a meta-narrative of the land itself. I think this sounds really cool, and as someone like you who has been to Galaxy's Edge, this sounds probably even cooler.
I have one specific thought, and it's this. No one pays our $6,000 hotel, so now you have to buy our fancy fake watch so you can pretend to be Boba Fett.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a cool idea, though.
It sounds a lot of fun and really immersive, but it really does sound like, man, no one's going to our hotel.
Well, and like, there's like the app that they have where you get like the Disney, like whatever app, and it connects to like Galaxy's Edge, and it like shows you all the hidden. It's how you find like the lightsaber place, because all of the things are hidden.
Right.
I don't understand why not make it a part of that. You know, like the Magic Pass definitely just like that is the punch in the gut of it's just about the money.
The magic bands, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a cool idea, though. I just wish it was more for the general public. But
yeah,
I hope it's like intricate. I hope it's not just like walk up, scan a thing, and walk away. I hope it's
you
got to talk to some dude. Yeah, yeah. It's just a pole with the Mickey Mouse ears on it. It's not even Star Wars themed.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like. It does sound like if they did put the effort in to make it really intricate and interesting, and like you have to interact with certain people and things like that, that would be fun. But something in the back of my mind is like, you got to walk up to a pole that has a QR code on it and you scan it.
Yeah,
and it's
literally.
Like, there you go. You know?
Yeah.
So.
No, for sure.
Yeah. But what is our last story here for the week?
So our final piece, which is just a rumor, which truth be told, I didn't know it was a rumor until I looked up the news piece about it making this rundown. I thought it was like official. But the rumor is that the Fallen Order sequel will be titled Jedi Survivor. Once again, VentureBeat reporter and 99% reliable game industry insider Jeff Grubb has dropped the news during one of his Grub Snack streams. He first teased he was aware of the sequel's subtitle and later gave up the knowledge after someone in the chat guessed. He didn't elaborate any further, but seemed pretty confident about it. As solid as Grubb's information is most of the time, we're running this as a rumor for now, since game development and the surrounding marketing are typically complex and fluid, and things could change with the next couple weeks with Celebration coming out, which it's supposedly supposed to be revealed at. Jeff Grubb has been on top of Respawn Entertainment, Star Wars Jedi sequel, for a long time now, first teasing its appearance at this month's Star Wars Celebration and later discussing a potential delay into 2023. As stated before, the game... Oh, and it's now only going to be new-gen related, so PC, Xbox Series, and PS5.
I don't know if I'm going to buy a PS5 just for Jedi Survivor.
Honestly, I'll play it. I'll beat up more animals in your name, in your honor.
Yeah.
As stated before, the game development and marketing are very sensitive, so the long-anticipated reveal could still be pushed, but a panel at Star Wars Celebration seems like a safe bet after all the recent buzz from renowned insiders. Plus, both EA and Respawn have yet to publicly discuss a new batch of Star Wars games. In fact, EA didn't showcase any new Star Wars projects during last year's EA Play Live, and instead promised news in 2022. So, that's it.
So... Okay, cool. Jedi Survivor, whatever. What is something that you want to see in either just like in general, what is something you want to see in this second Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order Survivor game? Or what do you want to see like improved upon from the last game?
Story-wise, I want a whole new cast.
You don't want any Cal Kestis?
I've thought about the idea of just following the Mantis crew and it's just being their misadventures. But I also think about the ending of Fallen Star and it or Fallen Order and it kind of wraps Cal's story ultimately.
It wraps up in a pretty tight, nice bow.
Yeah. And it doesn't, if it builds more, it's just going to be, you know, bouncing ideas off the wall. Whereas I think if you start brand new each time, it gives a cool, like, it's all the different Jedis, you know, like these, we don't know how many survived. Then again, there were tens of thousands of them, you know, yeah. Like this is a franchise you can run as long as you want. It's so
weird because I feel like not everybody kind of understands that, you know, it wasn't just Obi-Wan and a handful of Jedi who survived. Like, mm-hmm. There were literally thousands of Jedi who were still out there after Order 66, yeah. You know?
I think, trying to think, gameplay-wise, I would like bigger maps. I would like more alive maps. I didn't like how every map was essentially... NPCs that I couldn't get near, or it was bad guys just kind of roaming the area, you know,
or like there were NPCs that you could get near and you talked to them and they said one line and you walked away, came back to them,
they
you
just
talked
stood, to them, they said the stood same there line. The whole time. I would totally take Tatooine if it meant that I got to have like an alive Mos Eisley, you know, or Mos Espa.
I would love like an Elder Scrolls / Fallout type like NPC interaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes. I think that's pretty much it. I don't have much to say about the gameplay. I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely have a lot more info by the time Celebration comes. Maybe we'll get like at least a cinematic trailer. For sure. At least just to like clue us in on to like, okay, we have Cal Kestis or we don't have Cal Kestis, and probably a title.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think the only thing gameplay wise that I would want is an even broader lightsaber customization, more colors, more options, more things I can find. Because that was something I really liked, was just exploring and finding things. Yeah. You know?
I think I want them to get more creative with just like the gameplay in general, because I felt like it quickly got redundant when it came to just like you go to a different planet, you kill all of its native species, and then you get the thing and you'd move on. You know, it's like, and that happened like 5 times in a row, you know,
you torture and demonize this world and then leave with your fun little Jedi magic things.
Right. It's kind of like, it's fun like for maybe one planet, but then like it just keeps going with the same kind of formula until you get to like the big climax at the end. And I was kind of, I'm just hoping that they kind of find a way to just get more creative with the story and gameplay in that sense.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
I guess so.
But yeah, cool. That's about all the news we got for this week. It's a little bit of a slower news week, but it's going to keep ramping up because we got Kenobi coming out in 2 weeks. So
yeah,
we're very excited about that. We got some surprises coming for Kenobi as well. Once that releases, we got some fun stuff planned that we will be doing over here at Through Imperial Eyes. But as always, if you'd like to check us out on the social medias, you can always check us out on Instagram at Through Imperial Eyes Pod, Twitter at Imperial Eyes Pod, and we're always on YouTube at Through Imperial Eyes Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter, the Matt Quackson Scaling. It's Quackson, scaling like the triangle. Braden, what about you?
And as always, you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter, and on Twitter, I'm at BradenDathalon. And see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing over there on Letterboxd at B Ledbetter, and see what I'm doing over at my day job there at Fat19 on YouTube. And please make sure to leave a review on our Apple Podcast, Spotify, Overcast, whatever you got, whatever you use to listen to our podcast, to let us know that you enjoy or dislike what we do. We'll take anything. And then
please God, interact with us.
And we'll be back next week talking about some more Star Wars news, some more fun stuff coming at the end of the month, hopefully on the YouTube side of things. But of course, until then, may the Force be with you.